B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, good morning. Welcome into the DraftKings Over Under Show. I'm Joe Murray, joined by Dan Lifschitz. We got a great slate of college football games. It's officially week one. We had week zero a week ago, but we are on it today with a bunch of top 25 games. Oklahoma plays today at noon, number two. We got a Big Ten matchup, Penn State, Wisconsin. We'll see Oregon in action. Number one, Alabama takes on Miami. Cincinnati could be Cinderella this year. How about Indiana, Iowa? That's a big one. Texas, we get to see a first look at Steve Sarkisian. The big one tonight, Georgia, Clemson. It's all on the docket for today. And hey, we get a little LSU UCLA action, as we saw UCLA just a week ago. And there's a bunch of other non-top 25 games that are interesting on the docket. If you want to get involved in any of these games today, 617-779-0985. Tucker is back. He'll answer your call and he'll put you right through. Dan, last night you hit it. You got the North Carolina Virginia Tech. You took V-Tech. They win. North Carolina looked bad. They looked like players that lost. They looked like a team that lost really good players. And, of course, Sam Howell, who's projected to be the number one quarterback, throws an interception late when the team tries to tie the game. And, boom, tough place to play opening night. But I think you read that one pretty well, Dan. So, yeah, tough place to play, Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I mean, it's
in the ACC stinks.
It's a small stadium. But, I mean, you know, when they do enter Sandman, it's crazy, dude. Like that place, if you looked at the place like when it was like before it started, it was crazy. Like that place was bouncing around. It was loud. The announcers said like multiple times that they couldn't even hear themselves in their headphones. Like, you know, that's crazy when it's loud and you can't hear yourself. So, you know, it's a tough place to play. And look, I think Sam Howell probably also killed his Heisman hopes. I think that's probably a fair thing to say, right? After last night. I mean, you know, you lose a game in that fashion. I mean, I guess it's possible, but I can't imagine anyone is running to the window to take Sam Howell for Heisman at this point. A lot of games today. Thursday, I did not do great. You did much better. I got the two pushes there. The Boise State over at 67, which was frustrating if UCF doesn't go for two after getting the false start.
It also depends on where you got that line.
True. They did 66.5 for a little bit.
It's 67.5 in some places too.
Yeah.
So if you had the under, you know what I'm saying?
It's true. Yeah. I mean, it was all right there. Yes. I mean that. You know, so that happened. If UCF kicks the extra point instead of going for two after the false start. I mean that's my biggest frustration right there, obviously. And then who's the other push? Tennessee doesn't cover by one. It wasn't a great Thursday for me. Well, I got to own that.
Well,
too.
It's the numbers. It's. I mean, I could
Minnesota was a push.
I could look at Ohio State and Minnesota and say, man, both those there were some questionable calls in the game. It came right down to the number, right? Like, that's generally what happens in some of these big games. But Ohio State, they just turned it on second half. UCF was unbelievable second half. I just didn't see the, you know, Boise State crumbling like that late. But that's a new coach on the road, right? In a tough situation with a quarterback that's experienced but could get nothing going. And then the drops happen with a lot of these teams. But that's just what I notice right now. Like, you know, Dan, that Buffalo game, like, maybe Buffalo is just a wagon right now. And again, they played Wagner. So let's not get excited, but
good reads. Coastal Carolina with a backdoor cover.
Dude, that's one thing I got to tell you about that team. They know the number.
They do.
I've bet that team now for over a year. They know where the number is.
I mean, most of these teams know the number.
That's one that Coastal team, though, is one of them. They know if we got to punch one in here 20 seconds to go, they will.
Yeah.
Because they also know that that's what's going to help favor them, too. You know, Yeah, the Tennessee just got off slow, right? I mean, I watched a little of the game, but just eyeballing it early on, I do think the look ahead situation is still imperative. You know, Ohio State looking ahead to Oregon may have impacted that line. And I don't think Stroud was great, but he does have the best wide receivers in the country.
I mean, as long as he doesn't make critical mistakes and he just hits his open receivers, it really does not matter. Like it really doesn't matter. They're going to be talented enough to continuously win those type of games. So he just has to make sure he doesn't make any critical mistakes. He's rocket arm, and as long as he just kind of, you know, limits that early on, the more experience he gets, the better he'll be throughout the season, and, you know, they'll start opening up the playbook for him, yada, yada. Like, Ohio State is going to be fine offensively, it appears. Defensively, Joe, concerning, in my opinion, for Ohio State. If you're a guy, so as an Ohio State fan, concerning. Their defense does not look good. A lot of mixing and matching. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of guys with set roles this year, which is a problem. So if you're talking about a side of that Ohio State team I'd be concerned with, I think it's the defense. And I know Oregon's, you know, going to be looking ahead probably to next week. And I think that's, you know, that was one of the spots that Ohio State was looking ahead, you know, probably past Minnesota a little bit. I do think that's some consideration to take today. You know, I do think that's, you know, something that, you know, should be taken legitimately into consideration, Joe. So yeah.
And we've noted Colorado State's bad. Granted, they lost to the FCS champions or whatever, but they stink. And Kansas got their one win, so I think they're all happy. We'll see
barely. That it was. South Dakota was up 14-10 with like 3 minutes left in that game, yeah. And Kansas drove down for a touchdown. But I mean, barely.
And I'll say this, that Northwestern, Hunter Johnson was supposed to be this big hype kid from Bryant. You look at his numbers, you know, you'll see three touchdowns or whatever. He was not good last night.
He was the Clemson transfer, correct?
Yeah, Clemson, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not good. So I think Northwestern's taking a big step back.
They're definitely in a rebuilding year. You said it. You said you liked Michigan State on the podcast. Credit to you for that.
I just think they have to be better in a second. A lot of these teams' second season, they have to, they just have to be better.
No, I know, but there's always new moving parts. I mean, Russo, obviously new quarterback.
And they didn't play him. They played the other kid.
I know. The freshman, decent. Right? Whatever his name is. Yeah, he was good. I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, I actually watched the Colorado State game more than I did the Northwestern game. But as I was flipping back and forth, the one thing I can tell you about Northwestern right now is that team is completely rebuilding here. So everything you've thought about this team in the past, especially after last year, I mean, you know, they're back in a rebuild. They're back in a defensive, offensive. They need a quarterback. Like they have to completely rebuild that team. And again, Fitzgerald is a very good coach. He will go get it done. It's just how long it's going to take. So I think this is going to be one of those years where early on, that's a team to potentially look to fade against the number because they were not great last night from the maybe quarter and a half I saw.
A couple of games today, I can't pick a side. I don't find a investment angle on it. One is Wisconsin Penn State, dead number of 5.5. Both teams bringing back their quarterbacks, a lot of talent. And the other one is, quite frankly, Georgia and Clemson. Like, Georgia has struggled in these kind of games. Clemson's, I know DJ played two games last year and we're sold. You know what I mean? Like, we're just sold. That's what's holding me back on that one. And then I'm wondering if Clemson should be the favorite here. I mean, again, I'm trying to find an investment angle in the game.
Yep.
And those are just big games, right? Number three versus number five, Georgia-Clemson, and then obviously that big game. And, you know, I get why Iowa's favored against Indiana. I get it. So I can see an angle on that one. But those two games, Dan, they're probably going to be heavily bet, and we'll get into them. But those two early on for me are the ones that I'm like, I want to bet it, but I can't find the right side right now. Anything stand out to you that's like at least interesting today when it comes to a line?
I definitely think there are some, you know, some pretty good spots today. The fact that we've already seen Alabama move up to 20.5 this morning against Miami, opened at 18-ish, 17.5. We're up to 20.5 now. I think that that's going to be, that's in my opinion, that's both a public and sharp move there. In terms of everything kind of going on there, I'm interested in the Penn State Wisconsin game. I think I have an angle in that game, but we can discuss that one. I do think that the Fresno State Oregon game is another one where you can kind of take a look at. Obviously, 20.5. The spread's not 21. You know, it's just shy of that number. It's in Oregon. Oregon's probably looking ahead a little bit to Ohio State. Fresno coming off a underwhelming 45-0 win against 47, whatever it was, against UConn. Like, it was, they absolutely killed them, and then Hayner, got, I think he had cramps or whatever, came out. Like, the game was over very quickly, and UConn never stood a chance. So, I mean, there are some interesting spots today. I'd say maybe not in, these major games. What are we going to see from UCLA versus, LSU dealing with everything that's going on in their state? Can maybe a distraction. They obviously didn't practice at home at all. Are they thinking about family? Is there a distraction there? That's kind of an issue. And then Arizona BYU as well. What BYU team are we going to see? Is this going to be heavily depleted BYU team, or is Jed Fish going to take over for Arizona and, throw something maybe BYU and these kids haven't seen before. So I think there are some really good narratives today. There's a ton of games. We obviously won't be able to get to all of them, but we'll get to some of them. This is going to be Saturday's here, bro. It's great. We have college football back. I'm just happy it's football season, to be perfectly honest with you. So
let's do a game real quick, Dan, before we go to break. This one was postponed, moved to Saturday. Temple Rutgers, we know, obviously Temple struggled last year, went 1-6. They have a whole different team. While Rutgers, obviously, is bringing back a bunch of players. Shiano is kind of turning that program around. I remember how I talked about that team second year. Like, I don't know if I believe in that when it comes to Temple, but I do believe in it when it comes to Shiano. A third year now, right, for him. So,
yep.
The more I look at it, like, I feel like them returning home, this could be like a display. Rutgers, Shiano, like, hey, we're back. Thank you, fans. So early on, and I know that this has got one of the biggest handles going on. A lot of these people locally here, New Jersey and up that way up there, they've got a lot of action on this game. I always find that fishy right off the bat. Because I go back to that Giants game last week against the Pats. Things get a little fishy in New Jersey, Dan.
Well, remember, this game was also supposed to be Thursday night.
Yep.
So the handle's bigger because a lot of people rolled over those bets into Saturday.
Total's 52. I feel a little lower than that, but I kind of think the number 14's right on the number, but I kind of lean Rutgers, but I need to look at it a little more.
I mean, it's all over the board. It's at 15 most places now. So it's 15, 14.5, a few places here. I think this is one, as we've talked about, I'm very high on Rutgers this year. I think they're going to be a much improved team, not even just of last year, but just over the past couple years. Shiano, again, I think there were a lot of close losses for Rutgers. They should be better again. Temple, new quarterback, new system, new kind of everything there, almost a refresh year last year, and what it was not a good year. I had a lot of practice issues because state restrictions with COVID. So I think we'll see an improved Temple team. I don't know how improved we'll see, but I think both teams will be slightly improved, especially defensively. That's the rumor on the street is that both teams have improved defensively. I'm gonna pass on this game, Joe. I think there's better opportunities on the board. Maybe this is a Thursday night game that I would look at maybe a little bit more closely, but I think that this is pretty much a number that I have no interest in betting right now. Rutgers, under 14, I'd probably be interested in. Anything over 14, I just think that that's just chasing a number at that point.
All right, we're off and rolling. 617-779-0985. We'll get into every game that's happening this weekend. I will do that right here only on the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
The DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back here, DraftKings Over-Under Show. All right, let's lead it off, Dan. I'm looking at this Michigan-Western Michigan game today at noon. Tell you this right off the bat, Wolverines 7-0 in their career versus Western Michigan. 2018, the two teams met at the Big House, and it was 49-3. You know, we watch them in the MAC, and we're like, hey, they can move the ball a little bit, play a little bit of defense. But, yeah, you put them against Michigan in a little rivalry game. And what's the line here on this one?
16.5. So it was 17 last night, opened at 17.5. We're down to 16.5. There's definitely a little bit of sharp action on Western Michigan, for sure. They're only getting right now, 38% of the bet, 78% of the money, which, probably indicates a little bit of sharp action there. Not that the line has moved an incredible amount, but, I guess a key-ish number of 17, three-score number. So, I mean, there's something there. My thoughts are, I hate backing Harbaugh, but still, I still think this is like a pretty decent like bounce back spot for him. It's week one. There's not a lot of pressure to beat Western Michigan. Like they're gonna beat, they should beat them. I don't think anyone's like pining for his job over that. I think Michigan usually does very well against these group of five MAC and Conference USA schools. Like this is a little bit different than facing someone from the Big Ten or Big 12 or whatever. It's kind of a difference. So I lean Michigan with the points. I know it's definitely the square side without a doubt. But I do think that Michigan probably covers that number. The problem is they kind of have this look at next week to Washington at home. They're hosting the Washington Huskies. So, I do think it's not a bad number. I think you're probably seeing a little bit of sharp action on that look at spot where Washington is now the current favorite in that game. They're a minus, they're currently a 1-point favorite projected for next week on the road at Ann Arbor. And I do think Michigan's probably going to be looking ahead to that spot. They've already probably started studying Washington. And that's going to be a big game for Harbaugh. It's, legitimate top 25 talent. So I'm going to steer clear of this game. I do lean over. I do think Western Michigan will pull up some points. I do think Michigan will obviously score. Caden McNamara, as you just said, is starting for them. I think both teams will score here. I still think Michigan covers the number. I have no interest in playing this game at all.
Wisconsin-Penn State, we teased it. It's hard to really bring up what happened a year ago, but two teams met a couple of years, 2018, 22-10. Penn State got the win. They've dominated Wisconsin over the years.
Yeah.
Like, they own that ass. They won four straight. Six of the last seven. And with, I think the last time they won, 2011 was the last time that that they won this game. So we know a little bit about Wisconsin. They got the kid Mertz, sits in the pocket, nice little player. We know they're going to pack it in with their line and run the football, and they always have, a pretty decent defense. The thing is, Clifford's back. He's had success against them. And I guess we'll have to, find look into Mertz a little bit more, but I kind of like Penn State as a dog here.
I do too. That's where I kind of
like
lean
value wise. I guess that's all I have.
Yeah, and you're seeing some sixes pop at Bookmaker Pinnacle right now. So I mean that number again. This opened at 4.5,
and it's in Wisconsin.
There's a lot of action on this game in Wisconsin. You know, they're definitely one of the more heavier bet games of the day. I think I'm going to take Penn State, and I think I'm going to give me the I'll take the normal line here, 5.5.
All right.
Yeah, I'll take. I mean, again, I don't love Clifford, and that is my hesitation here. But I just think that talent wise, Penn State still is better than Wisconsin. I really do. Like, you take a look at their schedule last year. Penn State's first two games, they lose at Indiana 35-36. In that, remember that crazy goal line play by Michael Penix?
Yes.
Just an incredible display of athleticism. Basically came down to one play. They lose to Ohio State 25-38. The game was actually closer than that, if you remember. Ohio State was not great. I thought Penn State really had a chance to beat them. Then Penn State just went in the gutter for three straight games. They were terrible versus Maryland, Nebraska, Iowa. I think something must have happened or whatever. They finished the season strong and at 4-0, four straight wins versus on the road at Michigan, Rutgers, and then beat Michigan State and Illinois. Again, no incredible great shakes there. Michigan was not good last year. I think the Rutgers win was good. You take a look, and I still think this Penn State team is really supremely talented. And I think that they'll be better this year. They did have COVID issues last year. Every team, for the most part, did, with the exception of like BC. But you know, I do like them today. I think that that number is a little bit high for a Wisconsin team that I like. But we've already kind of talked about them on the preview podcast. Is that, you know, I think there's still a lot of up in the air on that side of the conference. So I'm going to go Penn State with the 5.5. I like that today.
All right. And then just let's knock out a couple of these games here. UL Monroe versus Kentucky. Kentucky's getting a 31-point line today.
Yeah, this was 27, and now it's at 31. Kentucky's getting, all the money, all the bets on them. I would never touch UL Monroe. They're maybe the worst team in FBS. I mean, they're right there. They're on that border between Bowling Green and whatever. They're right there. Under four scores with Kentucky, I think I'd lay that. If you're looking for something in this one, maybe UL Monroe team total under is something to look at. Sort of like the Bowling Green team total under. Obviously, the Tennessee spread doesn't cash, but I think that maybe that would be the angle instead of playing the spread at this point, for at least in my opinion.
All right, how about Boston College? BC.
Yeah, BC minus 45.5 today.
All right, let's just hold the horses for a second. They're playing Colgate. Which we know, I have Colgate alum friends. This should be an ass kicking today.
Should be.
Will they, though? That's like, I feel like a lot of these teams, like, you know, it's like the coaches are friendly, they go to camps together. You know what I mean? It's like, do you really want to lose by 45? Like,
okay,
you guys a favor, we'll just make it 35 and call the dogs off after that.
Colgate played two spring ball games. They lost at Lafayette, not Louisiana Lafayette, different Lafayette in the Patriot League, 24-10. That was on the road. Not terrible. I mean, not a good game by sure, but not terrible. Then they're at Fordham April 3rd, which is about a month later. They lose 40-8.
So let me give you one. Last time they played a team that's from the Patriot League, they won 62-14. That was 2018 BC.
Gotcha. I mean, this is probably going to be pretty close to that number.
48. Yeah.
Do you want to lay the 45 with a supremely talented BC team this year?
No, because how long is Phil Jurkovic going to play today?
I think that that's always going to be the question in these big sort of games. Is if the backups come in, can they continue to play well? No, it's not.
I don't know.
This is not exactly like BC has a look at. They're playing UMass next week. So if they don't cover today, you know, they're then.
What's it going to be next week? 55?
Oh, no. 40? I don't.
UMass would be better than Colgate.
They are, but much better are they?
Jesus, she got a Colgate UMass game going.
Oh, see, I think that would be maybe a somewhat competitive game, at least. So, yeah, that's listen, for all the BC people out there, it's going to be fun to watch this team this year. This is not a game that's...
Speaking of that, shouldn't UConn beat Holy Cross today at -3?
Yeah, so this is interesting, right?
-3?
Right, UConn a 3-point favorite against Holy Cross. Now, again, you have to maybe take into consideration what happened last week where the team looked like they weren't even ready to play against Fresno State. And, you know, they didn't exactly...
No, they're at home tonight, though. And we're preparing for Holy Cross.
I mean, I get what you're saying. I'm just telling you, like, you know, it's one of those things. Holy Cross, by the way, made the FCS playoffs last year. Beat Lehigh.
No, they've always been a great program.
Beat Fordham. They crushed Bucknell in the Patriot Championship League. They played South Dakota State in the first round.
They're looking
of the FCS,
their chops then, huh?
And South Dakota State beat them 31-3. So. Where do you think that San Diego State would be, or sorry, South Dakota State would be on against UConn? I would make South Dakota State a 2.5-3 point favorite, depending on neutral site.
They played last night. South Dakota
State. They played Colorado State last night. They beat Colorado State. Like yeah, I think that this is, you know, Holy Cross got absolutely. I think UConn bounces back with a win today. I do. I know that that's going to be. An interesting way to look at it, but I think UConn bounces back with a win today against Holy Cross. I think that 3-point spread scares the hell out of me, though. I won't touch it, but I do think they bounce back. I think UConn gets the dub today.
All right, we'll do a couple more games and we'll hit a break quickly. How about this Oklahoma Tulane game that's been moved?
Yeah, so this one actually opened, I think it was 21.5 by Oklahoma. It got bet up to 23.5 very quickly. The Sharp Group RES moved that. That went from 27 to 28. And then the game got moved from Tulane to now in Oklahoma. And now the game's 32. Just ramping up even more. I mean, at this point... In my opinion, this is an unbettable spread.
Well, I just think that Tulane's dealing with so much right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely adversity. Like, there's definitely adversity with the hurricane and everything kind of going on with that, and the fact they had to move the game.
And it's in Norman, you know?
Yep. They've also lost their home game next week as well. So, like, you know, no home games for the first 2 weeks of the season, which you were supposed to have. I think this is a tough task to ask Tulane to be competitive in this game. I do think that both these teams will score enough. I think you probably I maybe slightly lean to the over if I'm really interested in playing anything. But I think that the best numbers of this game are long gone, including the total. I'm probably not going to play anything in this one. Honestly, the total's actually moved from 68.5 to 66.5 since the move to Norman. I think I'm going to pass on this game and let Tulane and Oklahoma play it out. I don't think I want to get involved.
So I like Oklahoma here. I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to circle it right now. I'm going to circle it.
Okay.
Going to go back to the circles later on.
Let me give you some information.
Just real quick, this kid, Michael Pratt, was pretty good last year.
Very good for Tulane.
Yep. For Tulane. Oklahoma's defense is supposed to be legit this year.
Yeah.
How many years have you heard that one?
Hey, first time in a very, very, very long time. Oklahoma right now getting 92% of the bet, 99% of the money. So, I mean, you know, you are definitely riding public that side. That is going to be a book need in every book. Is that Tulane Wave team. So, you know, that green wave.
Marvin Mims. Remember that name today. He's going to be the big star for, besides Spencer Rattler, he's going to be the big star here. Yeah, yeah, this is one of those big spreads with adversity that I would kind of run with today. Just to give you a little insight on it, September games, right, under Lincoln Riley, they've covered 4 of their last 5 in this type of spot. At home in Norman, by the way. So, you know, 4-1 in the last 5 years in this spot. They're 14-1 straight up over the last 15 years in this when it comes to this spot.
Yeah, but remember...
Straight up, though, not against the spread.
Remember, you had the game flip midweek, so you're not probably going to have a full stadium. There's probably going to be a lot of people who plan to go to the game who aren't going to the game because there was no plan for it to be a home game. So maybe the stadium is a little bit lighter than usual. You have a team that probably is going to sit a lot of these players because, you know, I'm assuming that... You know, once they get a good lead, you were seeing this more and more in college football. Again, it's not a look at spot for Oklahoma whatsoever. I'm just saying, like, this is a very out of all the five teams that we really talked about being contenders, this is the most experienced team. So I don't really feel that there's going to be a need for a necessity for them to play deep into the game, especially if they have a big lead. There might be a factor of we feel bad for what's going on in Louisiana and we don't want to kill them or, crush them too bad. It's not necessarily a key win for us. And I just think that there are factors that, could push you at 32 points to try and consider Tulane, even if you don't like the number, just in terms of factors, I think that that's kind of the way that I would go. So I'm going to pass, but if, Gun to the head, I think I'd probably go Tulane.
All right, we got a couple more nooners to go in just a little bit here. Again, a couple of big games coming up that we got to get into as well. He's Dan Lifshatz, Joe Murray. We've got a couple more noons that we really haven't gotten into yet. Kansas State Army's playing today. Nebraska. Can you believe the audacity of making them 43-point favorites?
Ugh.
That's audacity.
They're on the list.
the list. Have we started the list yet?
Nebraska. I just started. They're on my list right now. I think Fordham covers that 43.5. But
holy smokes,
that's a lot of points.
All right. Well, we'll get into more of these games. We're here until 9 o'clock today. Then we hand it over to Gasper and Murray. You're listening to 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Jets, the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, DraftKings Over-Under Show. For those who don't understand what we mean by they just made the list, that means the list of teams not to bet. And Nebraska is one of them now. And someone just tweeted at us, yeah, put Tennessee on that list too. But we all know about Dan's Illinois, who won last week, by the way.
Outright.
But there's still a team that you can't bet either. So, like, he goes, they all wear orange. So if you wear orange, you must suck. And, it's kind of funny because I think about it. I'm like, oh, well,
Speaking of Illinois, give me UTSA plus 5 PP.
Ooh, off a win?
Yes. Little letdown spot here for Illinois, right? In my opinion, nice little letdown spot. They face Virginia on the road next week, so you might overlook this group of 5 UTSA team. Illinois, honestly, if you watch that game, everything had to go right for Illinois to win that game, and the score is misleading. Nebraska still should have won that game despite how badly they played. So I am going with UTSA plus the 5 today. I'm taking that dog. I'm fading Illinois because they suck. Now, again, I'll say this. Bielma looked like Bielma had them looking like a cohesive unit. But I'm still fading that team today. Give me UTSA in the points.
All right, let's knock out a couple of these other noon games we haven't got to yet. Army goes to Georgia State interesting game because we went over Army's win total, and this is one of the ones they need.
Yep.
In order to hit this year. Georgia State, I think, should be favored here, right?
Yeah, Cornelius Brown the IV, the quarterback there, a lot of people are talking about him taking the next step to possibly becoming a really, really good group of five quarterback and might be a potential, you know, SEC, Big 12, Big 10, I should say, you know, type transfer, you know, in the year or two. So I do think that this is kind of the start of the campaign. A lot of people are very high on that Georgia State team in the Fun Belt this year, and this is going to be a really good test for them. I think Georgia State should be favored, but this is an Army team that, again, I think there's a lot of questions that we don't have a lot of answers to yet. I'm going to probably pass in this game. A lot of really even action on this one, though. So, I mean, this is definitely an even action game. I would tell you Army is definitely the sharper side right now. Georgia State opened at 3.5, down to 2.5 now. And two some places. We're looking at twos pop all over the board right now, so.
Well, Army went 9-3 last year. They were very good. They had a very good defense as well. So I think Georgia State might be the right sign here. I see a 28-24 win.
I think this is going to be a really tough battle. I think it's probably going to be close to a one-score game. I don't really have any interest in getting involved in this one. Me personally, I think you'll probably see a lot of people on that under today, and I expect some points in that one. I do, because I think that, again, Georgia State and Cornelius Brown the IV, they can score. So,
so obviously another game that's interesting: Kansas State Stanford. We know what's going on with the Big 12; teams are leaving. You know, Kansas State's just kind of hanging around, right? Who's there? He had a good running back. What's his name there? Vaughn.
Yep.
I remember that kid from a year ago. So Stanford goes on the road here. This is kind of a noontime game, like West Coast, East Coast. I know it's college kids.
It's a neutral site game.
Oh, so it's neutral. Okay.
Yep.
All right, well, either way.
Yep.
I think Kansas State's still growing here. I think they're dealing with turmoil in that conference. They had big wins last year, though. Like, they play good against any opponent. I'm still not sure what Stanford is yet. I know they're well coached. They're going to be ready to go. That line, so it opened at +2 Kansas State. They're now favored by 3. What's changed?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you this. This is definitely a sharp side, without a doubt. There's been a couple sharp groups have hit Kansas State. There's been a lot of people who have talked about them being the favorite. Now, 3 points, you know, after opening as a dog, I think that at 2.5, if you bet anything over than 2.5, I think you were chasing the number there with K-State. At three, man, I think that's a tough situation to be in. This is a neutral site game for a team that opened as a dog. I think these teams are pretty even, Joe. Like, really, like, pretty even here. I can see both of these teams winning. I'll definitely tell you right now, this is both a public and sharp favorite of you know, all the bettors right now. K-State right now getting, I'll see if I can find it. I had it up here a second ago. They're getting a large majority of the bet, Joe. So, I mean, this is a game that everyone is jumping on the K-State side for whatever reason. 79% of the bet, 93% of the money, 70% of the money line bet, 62% of the money line bet there. So, I mean, there's a lot on this, and I'll tell you, the other side that's sharp in this one is the over. 43% of the bet, but 81% of the money on the over. Definitely a sharp side. We've seen the total go from 52 to 54.5 some places now. We're seeing 54 at Penny and Bookmaker and DraftKings, but, you know, their 54s are popping, 54.5s are popping. So, they definitely a sharper side in that one.
Yeah, I just don't know much about what's happening on the offensive side of the ball with Stanford, right? I mean, that's kind of their thing. Like, what's his name there? Skylar Thompson and Deuce Vaughn. Yeah, they're both known names that flourished a season ago.
Yeah, I mean, you have a brand new quarterback in Jack West. Like, there's going to be a lot of new, you know, pieces in the Stanford offense. Obviously, losing Davis Mills, that's huge. You know, that's a big loss for any offensive team to kind of take. And they're a West Coast offense, so your quarterback better know inside and out everything that's going on. I haven't heard a ton about Jack West or anything like that, but, like, you know, I can't imagine he's NFL prospect ready. We'll find out. But I do think that this Stanford offense is going to take a sizable hit, especially early in the season because of the loss.
Okay. Anyone has thoughts on that one, we'd love to hear from you at 617-779-0985. Tucker, I'm not sure if you can pot him up. Dan is in the car. What's going on, Dan? You're on the Sports Hub. Hey, Dan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Dan?
Joe, I know you mentioned earlier you didn't have too good of a look at Indiana-Iowa. Right now I'm seeing the line's at 4. The over-under is 46. Did you know Michael Penix is out? The backup Tuttle is questionable, and Dexter Williams is out for the season.
Did not know Penix was out today.
Who's going to be the quarterback? I honestly think Iowa's going to cover that 4, but I do think both defenses are going to show up today, and the game is going to go under 46.
Well, they played 2 years ago, right, which is, like, really the last time we can, like, look, Iowa won 42-16 in this type of matchup, but it was in October. It wasn't, like, opening week or anything like that.
And I'm taking Dan's information of throw trends out the window.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is different, dude. But I do think that even with Penix out, and even with all the factors surrounding this team, Indiana's only a 3.5 or 4-point dog in the situation. Doesn't that make you think, Dan, a little bit that there's a little bit of something there? I'll definitely tell you, Indiana is the sharp side right now. I mean, there's no doubt about that. That Indiana is the sharp side. Iowa opened 4.5. We're seeing 3.5s pop mostly across the board now. So, you know, even though Indiana, the public side's definitely Iowa, you know, we're seeing some Indiana money come in as well. And again, I do think that the unknown of Jack Tuttle has me not really interested in playing that Indiana side. But I think the spread speaks for itself in regards to where big money bettors are standing on this one, and that's with Indiana. You know, taking on this Iowa team that's very talented, but had a lot of close wins last year. And usually when that happens, you kind of regress the next season.
Where did you hear Michael Penix isn't playing? I have no information on that.
I just looked at the, I looked at RotoWire, and then I also looked at the Score app.
Well, that's going to be huge.
Well, Penix.
Right now, I see he's in.
I don't think Penix was ever expected to play. He's coming back off the ACL.
No, I know. That's why I don't see that he's listed as out anywhere.
Interesting. Okay.
I'll continue. We got to keep our eyes on that one. Wonder if we can get any intel on that one.
Yeah, I see.
Other people are. We don't see anything that Penix is out today. Getting multiple tweets on that one too. We got to look into that one. How come the line is what it is if he's not playing? And if he's not, then jump on it now, right? I will say this.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
The Iowa secondary is loaded. I know that. They're all back. Yeah, I'm seeing he's playing today. I need confirmation. We'll do it during the break
in
a minute.
I'll find it and I'll send it.
What about Oregon? What do you got today?
Listen, I tell you all the time, I don't bet Oregon. They're going to absolutely smack Fresno.
Really?
But at the same time, they're going to go ahead and they're going to lay it back because they're going to absolutely destroy Ohio State next week.
So you think they're going to destroy Fresno and then go on the road and destroy Ohio State?
Exactly.
So, Dan,
yeah, I'm still waiting.
So Ohio State pushes, but Oregon crushes, and then they go back and crush next week?
Exactly. Just I'm telling you, I'm wearing my green today. I'm wearing my Anthony Brown shirt.
Quack. Thanks, Dan, for calling. Tucker, you're going to have to knock him out. Thank you.
I'm a big fan of Dan.
Michael Penix isn't playing tonight. Can someone confirm? I need a confirmation, damn it.
So, I mean, there are a lot of people talking about that Penix may not, that he is on track, but that he may not play, and it's going to be a game-time decision. Now, I haven't seen anything about that recently, so going off the information that we had, he was on track to play. I haven't seen anything from the CFF, the the Twitter account that
I
use, which is College Football Fantasy. They pretty much do everything for every game. They're way ahead of all the curve. I haven't seen them tweet out anything about Penix. I still see him listed as the starter right now on the depth chart.
Just on him, if he's playing, do you think he's going to be like Derek King's playing today? Like,
yeah,
do you think these guys that are hurt are going to be ready to go and not? Because, I mean, you got to figure that kind of injury. You got to give him a little bit of a break, right? Like,
I'd say they'll be effective, but not nearly as effective as they usually are, which I think is the most fair thing to say about a kid in that situation. Is that there just isn't. By the way, Indiana Michael Penix says his knee is 100% and he is ready to play.
That's what I see here.
So that is Dan. I don't know where you saw that, but. As far as I see, you might have gotten duped by a fake RotoWire account. Send that over. I mean, again, we could be wrong. I haven't seen anything about that today. But what I would tell you is that if that is the case, and you have some information, you better bet that 4 before it pops up.
Exactly.
The 3.5 there before it pops up to 8, whatever Penix is worth against the spread. So.
All right, there are more games. We got an hour to go. We gotta get the big ones.
Yeah, we have a ton more games. So what's banging out next hour?
All right, and by the way, this hour of the Sports Hub has been brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. They want to help you prepare your car for fall travel. They offer completely contactless service with their 15-minute drive-through service, and you don't even need to make an appointment. Visit GettingOilChange.com for a coupon to save on your next oil change. I'm Joe Murray. We'll talk to you right after this.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show, 98.5, the sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You blowing money fast on the set.
All right, certified bankroll boys here.
I think I'm Big Meech.
I was trying to make a Drake reference. No one got it?
No.
Okay. We got the number one team in the country today, Alabama. Whoa, Nelly. Taking on Derrick King in Miami. Again, Dan, what have we learned about the ACC?
They suck.
So, therefore.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You blowing money fast on the set.
All right, certified Bankroll Boys here.
I think I'm Big Meech.
I was trying to make a Drake reference. No one got it?
No.
Okay. We got the number one team in the country today, Alabama. Whoa, Nelly. Taking on Derrick King in Miami. Again, Dan, what have we learned about the ACC?
They suck.
So, therefore, I've already given this out, and I'll do it again. Let's ring the old bell. 19.5, Alabama.
Yep. I mean,
It's chalky.
Going to be very square. You're going to see a large amount of the public on that. I also think you'll see some sharp bettors on that. I like the under in that game too. I think that game is probably going to be ultimately an under game in that one, Joe. Like, I still think that Alabama's offense is going to take a step or two back considerably, don't you think?
I think Miami lost a lot of talent.
Yeah.
And they're depending on De'Arik King to be the savior, and he is good. He's going to be like in his sixth year. But, like, I think he's, like, one-dimensional. Like, what I mean by one-dimensional is they just shut everyone else down. Let, you know, just let him try to beat you, and I don't think he can.
Off the ACL. We'll see what happens. I'm interested to see if Miami. By the way, they did not list a backup quarterback on their depth chart, which is interesting. Maybe a mind game.
Oh, Nikosi Perry or one of those guys. I know, but I'm just saying.
Van Dyke.
They've always had some sort of
backup plan, and it feels like they don't have that. They didn't list a backup quarterback, which is very interesting. Just something that a few people noticed, in that game. Joe, I want to get to a game three. Well, I guess you have anything else on this Alabama-Miami game?
Nope, Alabama.
My feeling is Miami, again, the ACC, heavily overrated. Now, they could show a lot of people up today. It's a neutral site game, so this could be totally different, and people could maybe get excited about Miami or be let down again. But in my opinion, I don't see it. I wanted to get to a game. I'm going to be square as hell here, so I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to take West Virginia -2.5 on the road to Maryland. So Mike Loxley, the coach of Maryland, is just maybe one of the worst coaches in all of college sports, just in general. I don't know how he still has the Maryland job. I know that they actually
They lost every road game last year.
I mean, I know that they actually were half decent last year. I'm very much aware they've got a win against the Penn State team in the middle of a slide. They beat a Minnesota team without 30 players during COVID. I'll give them this. They play well in that Rutgers game. Like, they did.
Can I back you for a second here?
Yeah,
did you know that West Virginia has won 9 of the last 10 meetings versus Maryland?
I also just think West Virginia is a Neil Brown and that West Virginia team, very elite defensively. Offensively, they will certainly struggle at times.
Julio Tagovailoa?
Tagovailoa hasn't shown any consistency as a legitimate starting quarterback. I think West Virginia, I'm higher on West Virginia than most people are this year as well. And I'm going to fade Mike Loxley and this Maryland team opening up the season as an under 3-point dog. Maybe I'm wrong, and I will live and die by that. But this is definitely a public side by me, but I don't care. I'm taking West Virginia, and I know it's not sharp. I know the sharps are on Maryland. I don't care. I'm taking WVU to cover the 3-point spread at 2.5. It's got to be 2.5. I don't like the 3. Got to be 2.5. So,
wow. All right. And I mean, while we're just giving out winners, this one's interesting. Texas Tech, Houston. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored, but I like Houston -1.5 PP. Boom.
So Houston was a dog up until, I believe, they were a dog a few days ago. I don't think, hopefully the number doesn't matter too much. Just be careful. Houston is definitely the public side and the sharp side. In this one, getting 62% of the bets, 76% of the money, going from +2.
Tyler Shaw is the new quarterback, Texas Tech.
Yep, Tyler Shaw, yep. So, I mean, I'm very interested in what the outcome of that game is. I honestly don't think I'll end up watching that one because there's other stuff. But I'm also interested, where do these teams line up defensively? Because I think Houston took a legitimate step back last year. I still have questions about them. Now the BYU game, October 16th, the final score of that game is extremely misleading. But after that, they get killed by UCF, killed by Cincinnati. They lose to Memphis, and then in the bowl, Hawaii beats them by 2 scores, 14 points. I'm a little worried this Houston team took a bit of a step back, Joe. That's why I'm not gonna touch anything. But they are absolutely the sharp side today, no doubt about it. Public and sharps both on Houston.
All right, going back to some of these time games from earlier. I know we kind of touched on a couple. We didn't get into Air Force Lafayette. Air Force is 40.5 point favorites. Whew. I know they get that big running back still.
They're 41 point favorites now. That line is on the move there, Joe. So I mean, you're gonna see that to continue to probably to tick up a little bit. I'm looking for some more movement in any of these earlier games, but I haven't seen any. But I do see Air Force rolling out the 41-point favorite right now.
Also, Air Force. Oh, we already mentioned Air Force. Rice, excuse me. Arkansas, 19.5-point favorites versus Rice. It's like a loss.
A lot of people are very high on this Arkansas team, and they have the third toughest schedule of the year, per the ratings.
Yeah, but they had like a veteran quarterback last year from Florida, and like really kept things together for them. They're going with a whole new quarterback. Like, I don't know if I trust that yet.
I mean, people are impressed with what Sam Pittman's
done. Yeah, the kid Jefferson. Yeah,
he's the Mississippi State transfer, right?
Yeah, because last year, KJ Jefferson.
Yeah, I believe. Yeah, so he's the transfer over in. This is gonna be very, very, very different. Okay, like this is gonna be a completely different type of Arizona offensive team. Like they're gonna have to, kind of figure out what they want to do. Felipe Franks. I mean, how big of the drop from Franks to Jefferson is it going to be? Because, I mean, again, Jefferson was in the system last year, so it's not like he's kind of coming in blind and he working everything. Like he's coming in, he knows what's going on in the system. So I do think that's at least a little bit of a help for him. And I mean, I don't really know where to stand this Arkansas team. I think that their win total is 6. I don't think they're going to be a bowling team just because their schedule is so dang hard. But listen, Rice, McCaffrey is the quarterback of Rice, okay? So what McCaffrey are you going to get, Joe? Because, that really is going to depend on the game. Is it, and are they even going to start Luke McCaffrey? Because the rumor is that they might go back to Willie Green, who was terrible there. And I know Rice has gotten better and whatever. But if they go, if McCaffrey, transfers into Rice, can't even start there, you can't really have a lot of faith in this Rice team, especially against a high-powered SEC team. To me, that's a pass.
I'm interested in this Marshall versus Navy game. Marshall, new coach, Charles Huff. We know what happened with them a year ago. They were very good. Navy's coming off a 3-7 seed. They had their worst season, at least under the coach, Nama Tololo, or whatever his name is, that we can never figure out every week. Defensively, Marshall, what Conference USA, one of the better defenses, right, out there. The more I look at it here is, can that defense play against that Navy offense? And then who's the quarterback for Navy in this one? So, until Navy gets that quarterback underway, like Marshall, I think with that good defense should be able to win this game today. I kind of like Marshall in the spot. And remember last year, we backed Navy in this game.
We did.
We played against BYU.
It was a little different. Can we be fair about that? It was a little bit different.
Yeah.
So I like Navy if he gets the 3. I'm going to be on the other side of you in this one, Joe. Marshall started off last year.
At Navy? Okay, yeah. Annapolis, yep.
Marshall started off last year in fantastic fashion. They started 4-5-0, I believe. They beat FAU. They beat App State. They beat Western Kentucky. 7-0 because they beat UMass and Middle Tennessee. Sorry, I didn't include those. So they beat whatever. Then they lose to Rice 20-0. The final three games are kind of what concerns me. They lose to Rice 20-0. Offensively, they were completely stifled. They face a good team in UAB. They lose 22-13. And they face a Buffalo team, again, without some of their premier players, and lose that game 17-10. So, Marshall kind of stumbled into the end of last season. And by the end of last season, I don't really know where they even stood in the Conference USA. You could shut out by Rice at home. Not exactly a great look. I do think this Marshall team is talented, and I think that they're definitely going to be the public side today, without a doubt. I'm going to back. I'm not going to play it, but I would back Nia Matalolo, and I would back that Navy team. And yes, I said it because I just practiced it so much. I don't trust Grant Wells. Marshall has lost a lot defensively. They're filling in 3 transfers.
Ooh.
Five transfers in total, 2 JUCO transfers defensively.
Who's the QB for Navy? I need to know who the QB for Navy is.
Well, why?
Because they were so bad last year at quarterback.
They can't run
the football.
I guess, but if they run, I mean, they run the triple option. Who cares? Like, whoever it is, does it really? If they run the triple option, it really doesn't matter who the quarterback is, as long as they can, you know, do it. And they right now they're three deep. They have Xavier Arline as the starter, and Daniel Jones. Ty Lavatai is the backup. So again, I probably butchered both those names. I apologize, but it really doesn't matter. They're a triple option team. So as long as the quarterback can run the ball and handle it, it is what it is, in my opinion.
Okay. The offense, I think, maybe the overs wouldn't play on this one. I don't know. I'm looking into this a little too much. Someone says, what do you think about Pitt versus UMass today?
Oh, man. The auto fade of UMass.
Oof. You know, Dan. How about you, Tucker?
Oh, I don't know.
38 points. Does UMass lose by 40?
Yes.
I mean, again, the one thing I'll say for UMass.
And I don't watch college, by the way.
the one thing I'll say for UMass is that, you know, Pittsburgh might literally not care about this game. Not that they're not going to win it, okay? Like, they will. They absolutely will. But, like, next week they're on the road to Tennessee. It's not exactly the look-ahead spot of all look-ahead spots, but maybe it's something. UMass is so bad, I don't know if they're legitimately a team you have to seriously prep for. It's possible they don't cover that number. And, by the way, that number has moved towards UMass, not the other way around. So, you know, I'm just saying, like, I do think that that is a team that, you know, I don't think I'm going to do the fade UMass this week. I don't think so.
Yeah, Pitt has 21 seniors, including Pickett, coming back. They all got that extra year there.
I mean, you don't bet UMass in this game. It's Pittsburgh or nothing.
Colorado transfer Tyler Lytle will be the quarterback at UMass. Nah, can't do it, guys. I got nothing today. Normally, that's when I'd be like, let's lay it and see what happens.
I can't lay it either.
I don't have.
Can I give you a little bit one that's a little bit off the board here, yeah, that I'm going to lay? Give me, and again, this is going to be a little bit different. Give me SMU minus 31 against Abilene Christian.
And we don't know who the quarterback. Do we know who the quarterback of SMU is?
From what I've heard, it does, right now SMU really doesn't matter. They have felt that both their options are pretty good. Tanner Mordecai was the incumbent, and then Preston Stone was the other guy that they're talking about. I believe that Mordecai was named as the starter. Preston Stone was the recruit. So I'll see if I can find a report here. Yeah, Mordecai was named the starter 5 days ago. So which again makes sense to me. Now Mordecai is the former Oklahoma transfer. So he's the guy that Spencer Rattler beat out. So I think that SMU is actually going to be pretty okay at quarterback, because not only is Preston Stone a very highly touted recruit that ended up going to SMU because they become a legitimate NFL quarterback factory, you know, so you say, not first round picks, but, you know, later picks. But Tanner Mordecai is an Oklahoma transfer, very highly touted as well. Obviously not Rattler highly touted, but I think they have a couple good options there. And Abilene Christian, by the way, 1-5 in FCS last year. They faced UTEP, Army, and Virginia. They lost 17-13 to UTEP. We actually played Abilene Christian in that game, if you remember that. They covered that one. They lost 55-23 at Army, and they lost 55-15 at Virginia. They also lost home for Stephen F. Austin in overtime. They beat Mercer, but they lost to Angelo State 34-21 at home. So this is not a good Abilene Christian football team. They did not finish the season well. And apparently this year, their roster actually got worse. So give me the SMU minus 31 right now against this Abilene Christian team.
Wow, ding, ding. All right, we'll take a look at Cincinnati coming up next, and also a top 25 matchup between Lafayette and Texas. We'll talk about those games coming up and more next here on the DraftKings Over Under Show.
The DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.